There are fewer joys in the sporting landscape than watching a great player score in bunches in the NBA. Great offense can beat great defense, and when the best players on the court get going, resistance is futile. In this podcast, we are going to take a closer look at what happens when some of the greatest players ever get going, and the opposition can do nothing to stop them. At the end of this episode, I'll be back to give you more insight into where you can read more great data-driven storytelling like this. But first, here is In the Zone, the most points scored in a game by an NBA player, written by Donny Kolakowski. So before we really dive into our lists, looking at the greatest individual regular season and postseason performances, we are going to throw a little caveat in here. Our in-depth NBA data takes us all the way back to the 1963-1964 season, which is from where we will create this list. And we know what you are immediately thinking. Yes. Some of Wilt Chamberlain's performances, including the true greatest of all time, isn't included in this list. Just 4,124 people and not a single broadcast television camera were witness to Chamberlain's 100-point night in a 169-147 victory for the Philadelphia Warriors over the New York Knicks on March 2nd, 1962. The NBA was still yet to be considered a major league at the time, with only fourth quarter audio from the game being discovered in 1988. Playing all 48 minutes of the game, Chamberlain would also set then NBA records for the most field goals attempted and made at 63 and 36 respectively, along with the most free throws made at 28, the most points in a quarter at 31, and the most in a half at 52. So yes, Wilt Chamberlain does hold the record for the most points in an NBA game at 100. But for the purpose of this podcast, we are going to look at everything following the start of the 1963-1964 season. And yes, Mr. Chamberlain does appear elsewhere here. But if it's not him at the top in our list, then who is it?
Kobe Bryant, 28 for 46 from the field. This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81-point game, 55 in the second half.
You got to get him out of the game. Somebody got to fly.
Oh, it is out of
bounds. Ball. There it is.
Here we go. And Kobe will be replaced. And listen to this crowd for number 8, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant's 81-point game is almost as famous as Chamberlain's 100. It's the only other time in NBA history a player has scored 80 or more points in a game, and only one other has hit 70 points since January 22, 2006, that being Devin Booker for the Phoenix Suns in 2017. To say the offense was centered around Kobe that day would be an understatement. He took 46 of his team's 88 field goal attempts and 20 of the Lakers' 33 free throws, but he still maintained his efficiency despite the insane workload, as he shot 61% from the field, 54% from three-point range, and 90% from the line. Although the final score of Lakers 122, Raptors 104 may indicate the game was a blowout, well, that really wasn't the case. Toronto had built an early lead and led by 14 at half time. The Lakers turned it around quickly in the second half though, outscoring the Raptors 42-22 in the third quarter alone, with Bryant chipping in with a casual 27 points, only to outdo himself in the fourth, shaking off an early technical to score 28 and close out his 81-point performance. It's perhaps a mark that will never be beaten, as despite the rising efficiencies of offenses in the last decade, Bryant's 81 hasn't been challenged since his dazzling effort in 2006. Steph Curry with 62, Bradley Beal with 60, and Jason Tatum also with 60 all gave it a good shot in 2021, but still found themselves around 20 points off his greatness. Until Kobe came along in 2006, the previous best mark had been set quite a few years before, when David Thompson got off to the fastest of starts in the last game of the 1978 regular season against the Detroit Pistons. Thompson was one of the premier scorers in the league at the time, and going into the last game of the season, he was just behind George Gervin of the San Antonio Spurs for the scoring title when he decided to take matters into his own hands. Thompson hit 13 of the 14 shots he took in the first quarter, en route to 32 points, breaking Chamberlain's record for most points in a quarter. He scored another 21 in the second, setting himself up for a monster finish. But that's where, as he described many years later, the game began to change.
Three guys guarding me, they were bumping me, knocking me down, it got real physical. But I managed to get 20 points in the second half and 73 points for the basketball game. It was one of those games where everything you put up was going in the basket. So that was pretty exciting.
Indeed, the sixth quarter would only bring him 6 points, but he still managed to hit the 70-point mark, something that only Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor had done until that point. Baylor's 71 points coming for the Los Angeles Lakers against who else but the New York Knicks in 1960. Despite all of that, there was one downside for Thompson that day. The Spurs saw what he did and went out to make sure that Gervin still got the scoring title, letting him take as many shots as he wanted in a 153-132 loss to the New Orleans Jazz. Gervin scored 63 to secure the title and made sure Thompson's record for points in a quarter lasted all of a few hours. Gervin scored 33 of his 63 points in the second quarter and would see his record last for quite a bit longer, with Carmelo Anthony eventually tying the record in 2008 with the Denver Nuggets, before Klay Thompson finally broke it in 2015 with 37 for the Golden State Warriors. But for three decades, the two highest scoring quarters in NBA history happened on the same day. And even if Gervin won that title, Thompson is still the one that got to 70. And as far as this podcast is concerned, he makes the list. For the next on our list, on the last day of the regular season, an incredible scoring effort was delivered by a player vying for the scoring title. Don't worry, that's not a repeat of the David Thompson section, but the nearest someone came to his mark came in a very similar set of circumstances in 1994. David Robinson was neck and neck with Orlando Magic center Shaquille O'Neal for the scoring title, with his San Antonio Spurs team doing all they could to make sure he would win it. Again, with teammates encouraging him to take as many shots as possible, Robinson poured in 71 points on 41 shots, 9 more than he had taken in any other game of his career, whilst also going 18 of 25 from the free throw line.
48 seconds left. They want David again. The crowd wants David to score again. Here is Miguel Knight on the dribble. Throws it up to Rodman. Dennis holds it out. Starts the drive. Give it to David. Grabbed by Ellis. Double teamed by Wood. Takes the jumper. Yes! 71 for David Robinson. The hair comes down the floor.
It is also worth pointing out here that Robinson is the last man to record a quadruple-double in the NBA, and that also came in the 1994 season. In fact, our sister podcast, The Box Score Show, did a deep dive into that game. You'll find a link to the show in this episode's notes, and you'll also find it across all your favourite podcast applications. So go check out Four Category Admiral once you're done listening to this show. Here, though, and unlike with George Gervin, Shaq did not have an incredible game in him to snatch the scoring title away from the Admiral that year, putting up a mere 32 points and allowing Robinson to secure the only scoring title of his career and adding another layer to his Hall of Fame legacy. In terms of the rest of the top 10 from the 1963-1964 season onwards, well, we've already mentioned Booker's efforts for the Suns in 2017. Fifth on the list is taken up by Michael Jordan, who delivered 69 points in his highest scoring regular season game, but we'll be hearing more about his playoff antics in just a short while. From there, Wilt Chamberlain holds joint 6th, 8th and joint 10th on the list, with Pete Maravich matching Chamberlain's highest point total of 68, while Kobe Bryant makes a second appearance with a 65-point effort in 2007. So that's the regular season, but what about those games where it really matters most? The playoffs. Well, perhaps, unsurprisingly, there's only one man who can head that list.
With 8 on the clock, Jordan ties the game.
Oh, boy.
63 points, and you're looking at an all-time record.
Oh, boy.
Michael Jordan. No one has ever scored more points in a single playoff game in NBA history than Michael Jordan. And
it's fair to say Michael Jordan is to the playoff highest scoring game list what Wilt Chamberlain is to the regular season highest scoring game list. Since the 1963-1964 season, the five-time NBA MVP has scored 55 or more in a playoff game five times. Every other player in the league combined has also done it five times. What's more, Jordan's 63-point masterpiece may have come in a double overtime loss, but it also came against what some would consider the best team of all time. The 1985-1986 Boston Celtics were 67-15 in the regular season and 40-1 at Boston Garden, where Jordan was trying to lead the Chicago Bulls to an improbable win. And although he wasn't eventually able to do so, it wasn't for the lack of trying, as he connected on 22 of his 41 shots and 19 of his 21 three throws. His 63 points matched the total of the two highest scoring Celtics in the game, because Larry Bird had 36 and Kevin McHale had 27. Chicago would eventually be swept by Boston in this series, despite Jordan averaging 43.7 points. They would also be swept by Boston the following year, before eventually getting a series win in 1988 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was the first of many playoff series Jordan would win. So again, a brief interlude here. Jordan isn't the only NBA player to score 60 or more points in a playoff game. Elgin Baylor, who would probably have felt a little hard done by this podcast, put up 71 for the Los Angeles Lakers in 1962 against the Boston Celtics in an NBA Finals game. But as that took place a year before our cutoff date, we have to move on to the next on our list.
Seconds to go. Mitchell on the drive. Foul. Are they going to count the bucket?
Just adding to what has been a spectacular day.
Yeah, fouled on the gather.
Chris. Absolutely fouled on the gather.
Like Jordan's 63, Donovan Mitchell's 57-point outburst came in a heartbreaking loss in a series his team would eventually lose. The 2020 bubble playoffs gave fans desperate for basketball memories an exciting storyline in a first-round duel between Jamal Murray's Denver Nuggets and Mitchell's Utah Jazz. It started with a bang, with Mitchell going for 57 points in the very first game, whilst Murray got 36, and, arguably, more importantly, the 135-125 overtime win. Mitchell went 19 of 33 from the field, 6 of 15 from the three-point line, and a perfect 13 of 13 on three throws. And he even found the time to dole out 7 assists. For the series, Mitchell averaged 36.3 points on 5.29, 5.16, 9.48 shooting splits. But Murray came close to matching him, as he went for 31.6 points per game on 5.50, 5.33, 9.20 shooting splits, while his team won an exciting 7-game series. There's a two-way tie for third on the list with 56 points, which we'll start with by looking at Charles Barkley's big night, seeing as we've already touched on Jordan once in this section, and he spoiled enough things for Chuck during their respective careers. Barkley destroyed the Golden State Warriors to help the Phoenix Suns secure the sweep in 1994. It took him only 31 shots, of which he made 23, along with going 7 of 9 from the free throw line. Barkley only shot 27% from the three-point line that season, but hit 3 of 4 in this game, because it was just that type of night.
But Barkley with 54. Here is Charles. Barkley gets in. 56 points, but it gives them a big four-point lead.
Still complaining he didn't get to the line.
High fives and embraces all around. 56 points, 23 for 31, 14 rebounds, a colossal effort by Charles Barkley.
But after making the finals the previous year, Phoenix would lose in a tough 7-game series in the following round to the Houston Rockets, the eventual champions. And you know I said earlier it was a two-way tie? Well, in overall NBA history, it would actually be a three-way tie, as, you guessed it, Wilt Chamberlain also achieved the feat in 1962 for the Philadelphia Warriors against the Syracuse Nationals. But for Jordan, he put up his 56 points in a closing game in the first round as well, as the Bulls swept the Miami Heat. Jordan and All-Star teammate Scottie Pippen combined for 87 points in that game, whilst the rest of the starters had just a combined 11.
We have seen not only one of the greatest games in the history of the Miami Heat, we have also seen the greatest scoring output at Miami Arena. Michael Jordan with 55, surpassing Alex English's total of 51 a few years back.
Michael just says, climb on my back, we're going for another ring.
118-114, Jordan hits the second, it's 119-114.
The Bulls would march on to their second consecutive championship that year, A far cry from the first round exit Jordan suffered when he had his 63-point playoff performance. So that was a roundup of the most points scored by a player in a single NBA game. Written and researched by Donny Kolakowski, with music from Audio Network. A big thanks to the places we were able to gather archive for these games from, with the podcast being produced and presented by me, Graham Bell. If you enjoyed this podcast, then you'll probably like our roundup of the highest scoring games in the history of the NBA. That episode is already available for you to download from theanalyst.com, as well as your preferred podcast applications like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many others. So head on over now to listen to that. And once you're done, make sure that you like and subscribe to our show, as well as rating and reviewing it too. This has been a production for The Analyst, the home of data-driven storytelling, which features great in-depth articles and blogs from across the sporting world, as well as specialized data visualization, season-long interactive metrics, as well as some tricky quizzes to show off your sporting knowledge to your friends and family. All of this is available for you on theanalyst.com right now, and why not head over to our Twitter account as well? You'll find us on there as @OptoranalystUS. That's all for now though, but until next time, thanks for listening, and it's so long from everyone at the Reads from The Analyst.